Now, some of you may remember that I preached the first Sunday after Pastor Kathy left. And when Pastor Frank asked me to preach this Sunday, the last Sunday before Pastor Deborah arrives, I thought to myself, I'm like bookends. I was away the Sunday that Deborah completed the last step in her candidating process, so I will be meeting her for the first time next week. But I have heard much about her, first of all from Pastor Frank, who has told me at least a dozen times, you will love Deborah. And considering that he knows her well and he knows me well, I think that's likely to be true. And conversely, I hope she likes me. Now, many of you have also expressed your excitement and high hope. So like all of you, I look forward to getting to know her and experiencing the gifts she has for ministry. And this would be an opportune moment to once again thank the Pulpit Nominating Committee. We thank them for their many hours of hard work and their commitment and dedication to persevere even when the task seemed impossible, thankless, and endless. And I'm also sure that you all join me in feeling sad that Pastor Frank has now left the building. I have known many pastors in my day, and I can only say that he is an extremely gifted man. He particularly excelled in an area where I have never been any good at all, and namely adult Christian education. I appreciated his sense of humor, his caring nature, his down-to-earth communication style, and that he never hesitated in the slightest when I suggested that we should go out for lunch. And for a man of his age, which is approximately my age, he has incredible energy and stamina. I thought he would probably retire after his ministry here had concluded, but no. He will be sharing an interim ministry with the Hemez Springs Presbyterian Church, and they are very lucky to have him. I entitled my sermon today, The Care and Feeding of Pastors. And before I proceed, I want to say that in the 7.5 years that I've been connected with this church, my observation has been that this is a very healthy congregation. You have a good history of supporting and caring for your pastors. I don't expect anything to go wrong, but it also doesn't hurt to have a general reminder of the role that the congregation plays in having a healthy pastoral relationship. So I want to talk about some of the practical ways that we can support Deborah in her ministry. And I also thought it would be fun to entertain you with some war stories from my 40 years of ministry. Now, I use the word entertain because these all seem very funny now, but they did not at the time. And this will include revealing, we don't have a drum here, drum roll. This will include revealing the great scandal of my ministry. Ooh. These stories will hopefully serve as illustrations of how not to be supportive of the pastor. And additionally, I want to review the vows that the congregation will take at the worship service when Deborah is officially installed as your pastor. Now, some of you might not be aware that although Deborah has about a dozen years of experience in the ministry, this will be her first time as the solo pastor of a congregation. And she will have the responsibility of preparing and delivering a sermon each and every Sunday, week in and week out. Now, people who sit out there in the pews have no idea what a hard and time-consuming effort this is. And now, when I occasionally preach, I say to myself, I can't believe I used to do this every week. And Pastor Frank has mentioned to me several times that this is one area where Deborah will need my support. And I don't know if he's passing on to me something that Deborah voiced to him, or if this is just something that he is personally concerned about for her. So here's the deal. Most pastors save their sermons, anticipating the day that they will move on to a new church. And we refer to the receptacle for these old sermons as the barrel. And most of us who have been in the ministry for a good while have sermons in the barrel for every Sunday in the 3-year lectionary cycle. Interim pastors who serve a church for only a year or two probably never have to write a completely new sermon, although I think Frank sometimes did. Usually, some tweaking or editing is involved, but it's much easier and takes far less time than writing a whole new sermon. Now, my parents had a good friend who was a Presbyterian minister and also a professor of religion. He was one of my early mentors. And on the subject of recycling old sermons from the barrel, he said, "It's perfectly all right. After all, Beethoven did not compose the Ninth Symphony only to be performed one time." And we sang a song from that symphony this morning. Now, Deborah's barrel is comparatively smaller than some ministers who are starting a ministry. This means that she will need more time to prepare sermons than Pastor Frank or Pastor Kathy. And one often quoted guideline is that preaching or writing a sermon consumes about an hour for every minute it takes to deliver the sermon from the pulpit. That means 15 to 20 hours a week. Now, I don't think many ministers are able to take that much time, but the responsibility of preaching weighs heavily on the pastor's mind all week. And when things get busy in the life of the church, like the time that I had 5 funerals in 2 weeks, it can be difficult to find time for sermon preparation. And one thing you don't want, and Deborah doesn't want, and her husband and family don't want, is for her to have to spend her day off writing her sermon. Now, ministers are notoriously bad at self-care. I don't know what day or days Deborah will designate as her weekly time off, but if you are scheduling an event or a meeting on her day off, don't expect her to be there. And you may also need to remind her to take her days off, to take her vacation, and take her study leave. Now, one thing that could also be mentioned to maintain a positive relationship with the pastor is direct communication. If you want something from Pastor Deborah, ask her. If you are upset about something, speak to her. And this one is especially important. If someone comes to you with a complaint about Deborah, encourage that person to take it directly to her. Last October, when we had the shared service here with several congregations, Frank said to me afterward, "I hope you aren't upset that we didn't include you in the program." And I replied, "Heavens, no." I didn't actually say heavens, I said a different word. But I also said, "Trust me, if I'm ever upset with you for any reason, I will let you know." Okay, I promised you some war stories, and here's one. In one of the churches I served, there was a clerk of session named Lorraine. And the term tough broad was probably coined after her. She had the build of a wrestler, a low gravelly voice, and she smoked cigars. I was only in my 30s at that point, and I was terrified of her. And for a long time, I had this very definite feeling that she was mad at me, but I had no idea why. And then one time at a session meeting, we'd gotten into a heated discussion on some unrelated topic. And in the middle of it, she blurted out angrily, "How come you never joined our church?" Well, I replied that ministers can't join a church in the Presbyterian ministers can't join a church. We are members of the presbytery. And she replied, but our other pastors joined the church. And I said, I don't think so. Their wives might have joined, but the pastors did not. And I encouraged her to drag out the big book that contains the membership roll. Where's Marie? That's a big book, isn't it? A very big book, yes. And sure enough, there were notations of the pastors' wives becoming church members, but none of the pastors. So after that was cleared up, we got along fine. And if she had come to me when she first had this concern, it would have saved a lot of trouble. Now, here's another story. I was ordained in November of 1978, when I had just turned 25. I was very young and female and single. In every church that I served, there were people who wanted to parent me. And somehow they thought it was their right and duty. And I was subjected to many comments about how I styled my hair, the fact that I don't wear makeup, the clothes I wore, what social activities I did in my time off, and my casual non-ministerial demeanor. And even in my last church before I retired, when I was in my 60s, with my own parents long deceased, I was told, I'm old enough to be your mother. It was not appreciated, and it was profoundly disrespectful. Now, I tried to wheedle out of Jeff Deborah's age, but he wouldn't tell. So we don't know what that number is. But I suspect that a lot of you, or even most of you, are old enough to be Deborah's parent. And even if you think you are doing it out of loving concern, don't even think about being parental with Deborah, let alone say anything out loud in a comment to her. So I promise you I will get to the great scandal. But first I have another reminder for you, which is don't sweat the small stuff. And here is the war story that goes along with that warning. In my first church, there was a seventh grade girl named Shanna who had a very nice singing voice. And she liked to sing for church, which I encouraged. Now, they did not have a choir loft. They didn't have any music stands. So we decided to have her sing from the left lectern. But there was one problem. She was too short to be seen. And the church did not have any handy step stools or these wonderful movable platforms that you guys have, but they did have one of those huge pulpit Bibles. And needing a solution in the moment, I put the Bible on the floor for Shanna to stand on. I think I did have her kick off her shoes. Well, the people were horrified. And when they were chastising me for this, the words of an old hymn came to my mind. Can any of you guess what hymn that might be? Standing on the Promises. I was hoping Genevieve would be here because she's the one who knows the old hymns better than anybody. So instead of focusing on the beautiful solo that Shanna sang, they got into a big snit over a minor faux pas. Now, Shanna and I are still in touch as Facebook friends, and she is now a grandmother, and she still has a lovely singing voice. Now, one more topic before we get to the great scandal. Now, soon after Pastor Deborah arrives, there will be a special service to formally install her as the pastor. At that service, she will renew her ordination vows. Now, in the Presbyterian Church, the vows that ministers take when they are ordained or installed are almost identical to the vows that elders and deacons take when they are ordained. So I know an awful lot of you have been or are either elders or deacons, so you probably are familiar with those words. Following the vows by the minister, there are also questions for the congregation. Now, when Deborah is installed, these are the questions that will be asked of you. Do we, the members of the church, accept Deborah as our pastor, chosen by God through the voice of this congregation to guide us in the way of Jesus Christ. Do we agree to pray for her, to encourage her, to respect her decisions, and to follow as she guides us, serving Jesus Christ, who alone is head of the church? Do we promise to pay her fairly and provide for her welfare as she works among us, to stand by her in trouble and share in her joys? Will we listen to the word she preaches, welcome her pastoral care, and honor her authority as she seeks to honor and obey Jesus Christ, our Lord? Now, in the moment during the installation services, these vows will seem like very perfunctory words. And rather than really thinking about what you're answering to, we're more worried about getting the I do's and the I will's straight, especially for that last question where the answer is I do and I will. Now, Pastor Kathy used to always remind us to take our time when receiving communion. And I'd like to suggest that we take our time when we answer these questions, and maybe between now and then, that we really think about the commitment that we are making to our new pastor. Now, every pastor is unique and comes with their own gifts and talents and experiences. Now, you are all thinking at this moment that Deborah is perfect and that she can walk on water. I don't want to burst your bubble, but the day will inevitably come, usually about the one-year mark, when you realize that she isn't perfect and she can't walk on water. And this will be a rude awakening. She will be stronger in some areas than others. She is human. She will make mistakes. And she won't be able to please all of the people all of the time. And one of the ways we can support Pastor Deborah is to understand that she is her own person, and she may want to do things differently than they were done in the past. And this is not to say that one way is right and the other way is wrong. She may want to make some changes to the order of worship. She may or may not allow open mic at funerals. Every congregation with a new pastor hopes that the church will grow, especially by attracting young families and youth. And even though this is an area where Deborah has passion and experience, it may or may not happen. Okay, you have all been patiently waiting for the revelation of the great scandal. I got into serious trouble for this, and I hope that when I tell you, you won't think less of me. Are you ready? Are you sure? Okay, here it is. After almost 40 years of ministry, I was told that I was holding the offering plates wrong. Now, you may be wondering, how are the offering plates supposed to be held, and what was I doing wrong? Well, now, this was a small church with only two offering plates, and they didn't have their table out here. It was more in the back. When the ushers came forward, I would take the plates, and I'd put one on top of the other. I'd put my bulletin in the top plate and then lead the unison prayer that everyone said together to dedicate the offering. And then I carried them to the table, separated them, and placed them on the table in the back of the chancel. Now, the person who complained wanted me to have the ushers hold the plates while I led the prayer, and then take them, one in each hand, without stacking, and put them on the table. Now, the funniest part of this story is that the interim pastor who came after me, and then also then the permanent pastor who came after that, both held the offering plates the same way I did, and they had to be corrected. So, along with me, there are two other ministers who have in their collection of war stories the complaint that they held the offering plates wrong. So, please, let Deborah hold the offering plates however she wants to. Thanks be to God. Amen.